Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
It's the edges for me.
It's the fake earrings for me.
It's the jumbo ears for me.
It's the fake chain for me.
It's the crispy lips for me.
It's the Olaf pants for me.
It's the oversized shirt that's not yours for me.
It's the dried on eyebrows for me.
It's your crush rejecting you for me.
Why would you say that? You telling everybody my secrets. That's why you single. With your ashy, crusty toe.
Now, I don't know why I've just been on this clip of the week wave, brother. You know, I keep seeing these things that I just pull gems from. There's always a lesson. So what you just heard was a very popular viral TikTok video of two sisters, one older, one younger, who were sparring back and forth in one of those really popular "It's the blank for me" battles, right? Insulting each other, their looks. She said it's the Olaf pants. Her sister, the older sister, had on some pajama pants with Olaf all over them. You know, she was just going in. The little girl was quick with it and smart and timely, and her punchlines were hitting. It was great. So when the older sister said, you know, it's your crush rejecting you for me, you know, that was kind of mean. It made me laugh, but that was so mean to say to that little girl. And so when she said it, right, you're like, damn.
Why would you say that?
And then she told her, that's why. So she was upset, right? She reacted. Let's really break this down for what it is, the layers that exist here. So she was upset, you know, and she shifted. She was comfortable at first, you know, she was fine with going this verbal sparring. She was cool with that. When her sister dug and cut her deep, she cut her low. She cut her mighty bad, mighty low. And she said that it's your crush not recognizing you for me. Now, I know that would have pissed me off. I'm sure there's nothing more humiliating than liking somebody and them saying, nope, and putting the hand in your face. So, of course, the little girl went the fuck off. You know what I'm saying? She had braids. All you heard was them beads shaking and moving all around. And she got up and walked out screaming, still loud as hell, or still audible, which is a skill that these little girls have as children. And you know how to just make your voice carry its way through a room or a facility. And I admire it. But the little girl was out the damn room. That's why you single. I was like, now to me.
With your crusty lips.
And to me, those weren't insults at that point. She was speaking from her heart. When you get upset, you speak from the heart, whether it's to release how you feel or say what you think is best for a loved one. They are sisters, okay? So when she told her, that's why you single, to me, that was the insult. That was her, even in her deepest moments of pain, identifying an area where her sister wanted to improve, could improve, and would improve. That's love. And so I also think that that is an example of why you need to check on your strong friends. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Make sure that they are all right and that they have a moment to get it off your chest. So if we were to have a hashtag this week, it would be that's why you single. You know, dig deep, find out, or that's why you still together with somebody you don't want. Either way, find your way to happiness, okay? And I felt that from that little girl's spirit. And with that being said, and motherfucking understood, I'd like to welcome everybody to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell wants a musty brain? Hello, Francesca! How are you doing?
I'm amazing. How are you guys today?
Doing good. Doing real good.
Got Dustin Luther King up in here running things.
That's right. Feeling very black today. God damn it. Ultra
Dustin
black.
Dustin Luther King. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
These Zoom names.
Yeah. They escalate so fast.
You know why? Because I ate ice cream last night before I went to bed. See? And I had a dream. It was a nightmare too. That ice cream fucked me up, nigga. I woke up, I was like, what kind of, I didn't do no drugs. What the hell is, why am I hallucinating? I woke up, everything was neon. That French vanilla Breyers fucked me up. Do you hear me? I had a dream. Wow. I had a nightmare. Anyway, friend, you were saying, my love.
That happened to me with some, what was it? Ceviche, I think, that Jade had made. And you know, I don't eat seafood because I'm allergic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I'm willing to risk it. And I ate a piece. And Jade was like, you are crazy. She had to give me like some allergy meds.
See, friend.
My fucking gums got itchy. I was like, oh, Lord.
You can't be fucking around like that, friend.
I didn't care.
Whenever I think about a seafood allergy or a person having it, I don't know why I always think about Dr. Doolittle with Eddie Murphy. Uh-huh. There was a woman in there, she had that seafood allergy, and she was like orange in the bathroom stall. And I was like, do you really turn orange if you're allergic? What the hell is this?
baby. They said that shit will slam your esophagus shut like somebody slamming the front door. They
it
said
sure that shit will. That's why I took the risk, but I didn't eat a lot. I just literally, it was like a little nibble because I still know
that taste.
You know, I ain't trying to get my throat to shut down. And I always think of Martin, that episode where his face blew up with the big knot.
Wow.
Okay.
Jade was like, girl.
You brave for that.
Do you guys have any announcements? I mean, it was worth it. Any announcements before we start?
No announcements. Just really want to thank everybody for the outpouring of support and love that they showed my new podcast, Holding Court with Ebony K. Williams.
Woo!
We had a very successful first week. We charted in the top 25 of the news podcast, period, on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Only black podcast up there. So we were in great company.
That's so dope.
Thank you. And I'm just really, really grateful. Thanks to everybody for listening. See you again this Wednesday.
Come on.
Yay.
So if you're done listening to this, you know what's next. Okay. Damn.
So speaking of episodes, last week's episode titled Nursing School. It was a shoot the shit episode.
That was and did
such
I,
a funny
did I
part
lie?
Of
the did I lie? Did I
It was all the nurses tweeting us for me.
And emailing us for me.
And emailing us. It was a shoot the shit episode. No hot button, no segments, just whatever came up. And as always, those of you listening had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
Well, Dustin asked, did he lie? And I would like to shout out to Courtney in the emails. The subject here is nursing school. Courtney says, hey, guys, I just want to shout out all the healthcare professionals, especially during this pandemic. Thank you, Dustin Ross. I'm an ICU RN, and I work in a unit filled with women and men. Can't leave the guys out. That found out that, yes, they can do bad all by themselves. If someone says they're going back to nursing schools, get right. Nursing school or not, don't let your spouse feel they can get by better without you because they just might. I've seen it. I love you guys. I love the Purpose episode with Asante, and somehow I linked it with my feelings about Lovecraft Country's finale. Also, Fran's stance on purpose helped me find better perspective during the best and worst year I've had as a nurse. Stay blessed. Shout out to you, Courtney. Thank you for all of your support and for all that perspective right there. That's dope. What about you, Fran? What you found? You been in them SoundCloud streets?
You know I have. So Erin Marie 96 said, so I was trying to add Fran's Listen Lately, the new Phone Who This record by Cianca, to my music and accidentally downloaded a country song called New Phone Who's This by Chris Lane, and it actually goes. So thanks, Fran. Wow.
Ooh.
That's always a journey when you're like, what the fuck is this? Dustin, what'd you find in the Twitter streets?
I want to give a huge shout out to our girl Avion Love Perfection on Twitter.
Yes,
very talented producer, engineer, actually fashion designer. But she actually was shouted out. Timberland shouted her out the other day. He was naming like
which is crazy.
Dope young female producer. So I just wanted to give her flowers because you're cooking, mama. And also, really quick, I just
and Love Perfection is a dope ass name, right? Yeah.
Everything about her is dope. Everything about her.
Like him saying it, like, because I know that's her Twitter app, but I didn't know that that was her producer name. So when he said it, he was like, yeah, you know, dope new records by Love Perfection. I was like, oh.
The shit. Do you hear me?
That's so fly.
Just watching that happen is just like, it's so dope to me. So, and so well deserved. I would like to give a quick shout out to SMB at BOWKNW, who said, the way look at Dustin just came from my mama has me dying. When I say my stepdad was the first thing to go, and they was happy. Then I want to give a shout out to Riri Cakes with three S's, R-I-R-I Cake, three S's, who says, laughing my motherfucking ass off. I'm not about to play with look at Dustin, but why are you so accurate about nursing school? When I started school back in 08, there were so many soon-to-be divorced moms that decided to, quote, reclaim their life and decided nursing school was the best option, laughing my ass off. Thank you. I'm trying to tell you, this is something. We might be in a pandemic, but this going to nursing school and leaving your partner is an epidemic. I have seen it happen time and time again. Watch and see. That's all I have to say this week.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, but when I went on Twitter, all the nurses were like, Dustin, drag me.
This is somebody just like with the airline.
Fuck this episode.
This is just like with the flight attendants. Oh, God. Oh. Stay with a good ass nuance. So.
Don't come around me with no damn stethoscope. If I even see my nigga with a stethoscope, let him come around me with a stethoscope hanging around. And I wish you. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Y'all know I always say go second. So, never mind.
See.
Oh, you haven't said that in a long ass time.
Exactly. Okay.
So this week's episode. I got inspired by this documentary that actually a lot of you were tweeting me and asking me if I had watched. I had it on my watch queue, but just didn't get around to it. And then I was like, you know what? Let me watch it. Watch it this week. No, it's called The Vow.
I watched it.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
You did?
About the girls who were getting branded in the cult or whatever. And the one.
Oh, I'm so glad you watched it.
Yes, I watched it. Let's go.
Yes, this is. Okay, so. The Vow, for those of you who don't know, is an HBO documentary series that focuses on this sex cult, or what was, you know, labeled a sex cult called NXIVM. Called NXIVM. I just say labeled as that because I feel like it was so layered. You know, like it was beyond that. The way he had those women.
I'm just going to be quiet because... Never mind. I'm just gonna be quiet. Let's
go ahead. No, I'm so thankful that you watched it because I wasn't sure if you guys had seen it because you know it is on the splash page. Is it Netflix or Hulu? No,
it was HBO.
You right? You said HBO first. You was right.
HBO. Okay. Okay. So it's because I saw it on Hulu because I don't have actual cable. But So it's a 9-part documentary series. Y'all know my personal relationship with Scientology when I was younger. So I didn't get sucked into Scientology the way most of these documentaries, you know, have shown people getting sucked in because I literally lasted a summer and then I was like, nah. Mm-hmm. Like my intuition, my gut was like, yeah, this probably ain't the move.
You did a quick stint.
But what pulled, you know, a quick stint. What kind of pulled me into the documentary though was saying that how the women got pulled in was usually by someone they knew, you know, a friend, someone they trusted, a family member, someone from their community that they just like really looked up to, or even celebs that kind of pulled them in. And that's what pulled me in, because I got pulled into Scientology by someone I was dating who was in it, who they had gotten pulled in by a couple of their celebrity friends, and they had a singer who I won't name names because she's never publicly claimed her relationship with Scientology, so I don't want to put her out there. But they had, knowing she was one of my favorite artists, they had her call my cell phone.
Wow.
To talk to me about the importance of me building this relationship with this org. And you know, when you're in your early 20s, you're like, first of all, you're calling my cell phone, like, what?
Hi friend,
but this
it's
is the pool they have.
I'm a low-key Scientologist on the low.
All I'll say is but them calling me fucked me up because I was like, oh my God, I really wish y'all
you should not have done that because the internet feels exactly how we look, friend. Don't even tell them.
But I'm not even gonna start cracking the jokes that I could because I mean too easy.
But the but you know, when you come from a background where you were missing a lot of nurturing, you know, and you get love bombed like this, like suddenly everyone takes interest in your mental health and your wellness and giving you tools to navigate the trauma that you're like experiencing and trying to process and don't necessarily have the tools for. And then all of a sudden all these people are like, come, come into my bosom like a Yanla and really want to fuck with you. And I don't mean fuck with you in a negative way, but like really fuck with you, like checking on you, calling you. Love bombing is the perfect term I can think of because when you don't have that, it feels really nice. Mm. And I was even reading on Insider, there's an article titled I grew up in a cult, and I can tell you why, quote unquote, normal people join them. And she was saying, because, you know, I think when you read the articles, they always make it seem like it's people who are outcasts, like down and out. But when you watch the NXIVM documentary, The Vow, on HBO, a lot of these young women came from like strong households. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad raised them, you know, had strong financial backgrounds, went to good schools. Kind of not the typical stories that you hear.
Very much so.
And so it kind of showed you, yeah, that it's not so much being an outcast or having these needs that have been unmet and now are being met by these manipulative people. But it really can be anyone if they just catch you at the right time and the right
tan,
place, you know.
As long as you don't tan. They never catch them at the tan salon. Everybody, I thought the vow was to stay out the sun, as pale as everybody in that motherfucking documentary was. Friend, well, have you ever seen paler people in your life? Translucent. What did Amber Rose's son say? Translucent. That's how the people looked. Mother of pearl.
But do you... do you ever, because while I was watching this, all that kept going through my mind was, what is it that makes certain people more susceptible to these gullible organizations than
dumb
others? Huh?
Being dumb.
No, seriously.
Okay.
No,
I'm
for real,
I'm
for real.
I'm
like, what
you
is it that, like, for me, I lasted 3 months. And then I was like, and even while in those 3 months, I was unsettled, you know, like. A lot of what kept me there was because the people that had brought me in were kind of messing with my head a little bit. Yeah. Like they were like, oh, it's your resistance, you know, your ego, your pride, because you've never had someone confront you with these things. So you want to resist the help because you've never had it. And there was a part of me that was like, damn, what if I am really that fucked up in the head that like I can't even receive help when it's in front of me now because I've never had it. And then you start kind of getting messed up in that way. And I can see how someone would stay, you know, but something in my gut overpowered that and was like, no, because the way they were constantly asking for money, constantly in my face, if I missed one day or 1 week, suddenly it was like, they're blowing me up like we were in a relationship and I didn't answer a call. Like, and that kind of felt overwhelming, and I was like, that is not normal. That feels restrictive, you know. Like, I started, and you know me, like, I started getting anxiety, and then I was like, I gotta get out of this. And I peaced out, and I was open with y'all. I've been on Jaden XD a couple times because, you know, they love Scientology. They had a whole series breaking that down, the Clear documentary, I think that was maybe on HBO too. With what's her name? Remy?
Leah Remini.
Remy Ma. So I was like, Remy Ma. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I shared how it wasn't easy to get out because even though I got out, they were like harassing, calling my mom. They figured out where she lived. And at the time, my mom is in the projects. And when you have white men coming up to the dudes from the block asking for my mom by her government name, that puts her in danger because they're going to be like, who are these white men?
Right.
And I found that very manipulative on their part. It's almost like they knew what they were doing, because if they were really looking for her, they would just go knock on her door. But they made it a situation
bringing
where they went
to
the dudes on the bench. Yeah. Knowing that they're going to think like, who's she talking to? You know, who are these men? Why are they on the block? And then that put her in a really threatening situation. I didn't sleep for months.
Why are they looking for your
mom
anyway when they're trying to find you?
Because they know that that's the weak spot.
That's how you
know.
They know
that I'm
going to
be concerned. Right. They knew I was going to be concerned and most likely bend my will.
Yeah.
Right, and responds and then go back. But my mom, she's so G, she was like, no, like, don't worry about me. I'm, you know, 60, whatever. I know how to take care of my damn self. Like, you do what you got to do.
She said, and fuck so, a Scientology.
Yeah, she was like, I will meet them downstairs. Like, if they need to talk to me, I'm going to ask them what they want. So, like, you know, that was the cool part. But it just got so complicated. And even like they do little things, like no matter where I move to, I'll find a pamphlet of theirs in my mailbox. You know, just kind of a very subtle way of being like, you can run, but right. you can't hide.
We keeping tabs.
You know, and
on
so
you.
I'm always very sensitive. Yeah, keeping tabs. Like, we know. Like, their system is so vast that they know everything that's going on. And so I'm always so curious about documentaries like this because I wonder, like, what is it that made me have the willpower to get out? And then you watch these documentaries, and then there's certain people that they get so pulled in that they, you know, detach from their families, their own kids, their own parents, and just follow the lead to levels that are like from the outside looking in, because we're not under that trance, you know, mm-hmm. we're like, how, like in the NXIVM doc, Asante, the women were branded like cattle mm-hmm. with the leaders' initials branded in their, like, on the, was it their vaginas? They it branded like their
the,
vaginas.
Yeah, on the side of like their pelvic area.
On the side.
It looked like mm-hmm. the Rihanna right. rated RR. Remember the Rihanna rated R?
Right.
The R
from her album. That's yeah, the logo. Like. And then they would give a lot of what sucked them into and kept them there was they had to give what they call collateral.
That's
so it was like things to keep them in. Go ahead, Dustin. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you that part for me, friend, was the most that would have been red flag number one, the first and final
number
red
one.
Flag, actually.
That's what I'm saying.
Somebody, Asante, imagine a motherfucker coming up to you trying to run this kind of shit right here. Like, all right, well, I feel like you would really like this thing that I want to tell you about, but I just can't tell you about it unless I can trust you, you know, and I you got to give me some sort of collateral for me to tell you this about this shit that you didn't even ask me about, but I just feel like you would like, and right. so tell me a deep, dark secret that, you know, you don't want to get out so I know I can trust you. Hmm. Bitch, please. Like, are you out of your mind? And friend, remember the one lady said it was a black girl that had drawn her in? I thought she was lying.
Yes.
I think she was lying about that. I felt
and
that
it was a black
racist.
Girl with braids. I was like, no.
I don't believe that was a
not
stock
us.
Photo. I don't believe that. I didn't believe that not 1 minute, friend. But go on. But I just want to say that collateral
and
part.
Then when you saw the text messages, Dustin, when, because that, okay, so the collateral was red flag number one. Like, why, if this is a program that's designed to help me process my trauma, why would I need to send you deep, dark secrets? Like, what does that have to do with the processing? And that's the part that would have been the red flag. The second red flag was once you gave the collateral, you had what they called masters. And it was basically the person overseeing your journey through this organization. So you had to text them like, good morning, master, you know, ask them permission for things. Right, Dustin? It was like the master part. I was like, wait a minute.
And call them master. And then like, it didn't matter when they hit you up, you had to be available to respond.
On
call. Don't matter what time it was, what time of day, nothing. Friend, what the fuck does any of that have to do with God and spirituality?
Like,
y'all made this
and
up.
Remember the girl that was talking about the black girl being her master.
No,
she was saying
bitch.
How she took too long once to respond. Mm-hmm. And the black girl was like, you're taking too long. You're punished. Mm-hmm. Now you have to text me before you do anything throughout your day. Like anything, like go to the bathroom, eat, leave, like a true master.
Did we see a lot of color in this documentary? I'm just curious about that.
No, it's just that one black lady.
See, because I'm just so curious, like, about why people feel like people are always kind of looking for something to be a part of. I just don't understand, like, the thought process or where you have to be mentally or even spiritually to want to buy into something like this. Because I'm trying to, like, read along, and I see it's supposed to be self-improvement. And then they're doing all this bullshit that y'all telling me about. I'm just like, how does this help anyone? And why does anyone want to continue to be in some shit like this?
And that's the part that's sad about it, because the program itself, even though I didn't have access to it, I don't know what it was. I've never been a part of NXIVM. But it seemed like it actually was helpful. Right, Dustin? Like the people like it was actually... No. We can be unbiased in the sense that it did seem like it was helping them process, because they probably have never had a space to really sit and confront what they were going through. Where shit got fucked up is that, as always, when someone has that much attention and power and all these people coming to them, they think they got. Kind of like the Devs show, remember, Asante, where like it's like they created something so amazing, so impactful, and it's like there's a fork in the road when you are at the helm of something like that. Mm-hmm. You either continue to grow it from a heart space, or you become corrupt and think you're God. and suddenly sex, drugs, and rock and roll fucking take over because you just can't handle it.
I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. The reason that it was that I didn't buy it, you know what I'm saying? And I guess in theory, yes, what you're saying, it makes perfect sense that these people finally found a space, like you said, to have that experience of working through their shit.
And tools.
But to me, none of it was legitimate, because it was all rooted in bullshit. The head guy, what was his name, friend? I can't remember.
Keith Raineri, something like that.
He had those other people under him, his subordinates, a.k.a. the grandmasters and the masters,
right,
doing the dirty work. Those people would not have had any of that reverence for him or any of the systems that he created and been willing to buy into all of that. Because remember, every time you saw him, friend, his manner and his way was real gentle and calm, and he was pleasant. He was a pleasant person to be around. And that's why a lot of those ladies develop romantic feelings for him. But he was never telling them the restrictive things and the negative stuff. He had those other people doing his dirty work. And for me, that's where that was where the disconnect was for me. Like, how can this be good for them if they're arriving at this place through this bullshit that they have to go through, that they're going to have to work through eventually anyway? So to me, it was just like one big circle of mess. And I actually felt bad for those people, because although they thought they were working their shit out, now you got this whole other bag of shit you're going to have to work through.
Man.
And including the issues you thought you had worked out, they're still going to be right where they were left. So that's why I was like, this is so fucked up the way that they are messing with these people's heads, because it's like a double whammy of trauma. And on top of that, he looked like a ferret.
Why is that your period? Jesus.
But it's the huge, but also it's like, it's the thing of like, people can be good and do amazing things. Not good, I hate that word, but people can do amazing things, but also can do dark things. You know, like we all have the capacity for both.
That's true.
I think that that's what's hard to accept, because it's like, damn, he did come up with this modality that seemed really helpful. And you saw people like in such reverence of him, which is what's naturally going to happen, because it's like, bro, you fucking helped me. Like, I see life differently. I feel lighter. I can breathe. I'm moving through the world in a different way. And it's because of your teachings. So it's hard not to almost become a disciple, where this is how gurus are formed, you know, because it's like this loyalty that's formed of like, I owe you, I'm indebted to you, my life is different because of you. So that's what I'm saying about the fork in the road, because then his, you know, his shadow side came out to play. And it was like, you know, those parts of him that, funny enough, ironically enough, his own, his own unmet needs, you know, it's almost like he didn't even put himself into this modality that he had created, because his unmet needs came and started speaking for him and fucking took over this whole system and traumatized everyone involved. And
kissing,
it's just
everybody
so
at that party or whatever.
Kissing, you know, girls getting pregnant. And then the part that I found really confusing was that he would make them lose weight before they could have sex with him. and they had to become like waifs. Like, it was very thin and you saw them, they looked really unhealthy. I was trying to figure that part out. I feel like they never really talked about that. But you know what I thought? What?
I think it's a mental thing. He was trying to break them motherfuckers down. Like,
just like another control element.
Tactic to make them weaker mentally. I think that's what that was. If they felt like they had to physically transform in a way that required like discipline and just a certain type of structure or whatever. When you start getting into mm-hmm. regimented behavior like that, it does affect your mind, especially when you're seeking that's the approval true. Of a person, especially when you throw sex into the mix. So it just mm-hmm. I feel like he was just a master manipulator. He was really trying to just get control over those girls and shit, and it just, I hate him. So like, that's just where I'm at with it. Like, I hate his guts. Sorry.
Did they cover what was happening during these intensives? Because I'm on the Wikipedia because I just needed, you know, some context to feel included as well. So under this beliefs and practices, they say NXIVM conducted intensive classes for 12 hours daily for 16 days. One cited price was $7,500. Classes were divided into modules. In one module, relationship sourcing, students were instructed to explore the benefits they would receive in the event of a partner's sudden death. Another module, Dracula and His Ghouls, reportedly discussed psychopaths and their followers. Like, what is the curriculum here? I'm
lost at this.
See,
I don't think the doc said, right, Dustin? I don't think the doc got into the actual curriculum.
No, and I think that was intentional on their behalf because they were trying to give it. I don't think they wanted to run it like all the way down. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Get that feel, that takeaway, friend? I feel like the producers of this documentary.
Unbiased reporting.
Yes.
Yeah, because they wanted the viewer to form their own opinion. And they didn't want to. Yes. Like, kind of like they did with Osho.
Yeah.
What was it called? Wild Country, where they didn't necessarily form it in a way for you to hate Osho, but you know, they kind of just laid out the facts and then you decided if you thought he was crazy or not.
I'm gonna tell you something else. I watched this after I saw Midsommar, so I probably was already on some No Way Jose type shit, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, friend, I really hate him. I hated watching girls was describing it's just sad. Him.
And you know what, it made me sad because, and I've said this before about my experience, a lot of the information I was reading at that time, I think I had to be 23, really young, mm-hmm, you know, you're in mm-hmm. your early 20s. It was so helpful. Mm-hmm. It really was. It was helpful. I had never been just given straight up tools like that. Like, just like, you feel this, try this. And then you try it and you'd be like, oh shit, I feel a shift. You know, like just straight up tools. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That's unfortunate because I think a lot of these orgs start out. I shouldn't say that because I don't know these people, so I can't speak for their intentions. But I'm going to assume that they start out actually wanting to create something of impact that could help. And then it just goes fucking haywire because of the human condition. And, you know, like we were saying, their unmet needs kind of taking over, and it's just so unfortunate because I really did, when people would ask me like, oh, when you would take the classes, what was it like? And I'm like, it was really good. The other red flag with Scientology is they had this thing,
Sea Org.
I'm trying to remember. No, I didn't get that far. No, it was a thing that you would do kind of similar to the Collateral, mm-hmm. but it was a little more subtle because mm-hmm. they wouldn't tell you like, we need something, you know, shady, some deep, dark secret that you did. They would do it in a different way. It was more like, release, you know, all the things that are weighing heavy on you so that we can, like, hold on to it for you type of thing. And then it was being recorded. So, you know, even with a lot of these celebs that we've seen attached to this, I really feel like it's because they have recordings of them saying heavy shit that they probably would never want released to the public. And that's a way to keep control, you know, of who says what and who does what. And so that was another red flag for me, you know, where I was like, why do they need to know this stuff? You know, just asking about deep, dark secrets and let it out. I wish I remember auditing. That's mm-hmm. what it was called. Auditing.
See?
Where they would audit you.
Who the fuck is y'all, the IRS?
And I remember I used to panic because I was like, nah, something in my body was like, this don't feel right. This don't feel smart like it's woman. it just didn't feel like it was coming from a place of like, because at least with a therapist, you do share these things, but there's that client.
There's a protection.
What is
there.
It?
Client. A
yeah,
privilege.
There's a privilege where, you know they can't share that information. It's like, but this is just an org that you walked into and started taking classes. They have no, you know, and even you have to sign a contract when you enter Scientology that you are a member for a million years. No. If you're looking for a workout that keeps you engaged, learning, excited, and motivated, a workout that's never boring, you've got to check out Fight Camp. Fight Camp brings the boxing gym to your living room. They provide all the gear and top trainers. It's everything you need for great workouts. Fight Camp brings the boxing gym to you with a mix of cardio and conditioning for a full body workout. You get to learn from 6 highly qualified trainers, ranging from a pro MMA fighter and mother of 2 to a kickboxing world champion. No problem if you're new to boxing. Their 12-week starter program teaches you the fundamentals of boxing while you get a great workout every time. And there are 400 different workouts. It's even great for your kids. Fight Camp offers flexible financing for as low as 0% APR. And right now, as a limited time offer, you can try Fight Camp for 30 days with their money back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/zone. That's right. Try Fight Camp for 30 days. And if you don't love it, they'll refund your money. Train like a fighter and turn your sweat into results. Fight Camp for 30 days. Joinfightcamp.com/zone.
So my ladies, listen up. Not only do the men have more life insurance than women, they have twice as much coverage. Jenny Life wants to shrink that gap. It doesn't matter if you are a working mom, a single mom, an expecting mom, if you single, or if your kids are four-legged fur babies, you still need life insurance. You need Jenny Life. Gen A Life makes it fast and easy for women to know their families will be taken care of with life insurance that's uniquely built for your needs. With Gen A Life, you can get your life insurance policy without blood work or unnecessary red tape. Is the tape red because the blood from the work? That's the blood work? Anyway, and you can do it all online from your own home. They ask 5 simple questions, curate plans from dozens of A-rated insurance carriers, and give you a personalized, budget-friendly life insurance quote in seconds. For example, a healthy 32-year-old woman can get $500,000 in coverage for about $1 a day without ever stepping into a doctor's office. This is a real thing, y'all. Life insurance is something that's very valuable, particularly for women, and it's an important time more than it ever has been for us to be concerned about women's rights, women's health, women's reproductive rights, and life insurance. So this is the time, okay? Life insurance is something every woman should have in place because every family deserves a secure financial future. So take a few minutes to get your Jenny Life policy right now. Visit JennyLife.com/friendzone to get a free quote right now. That's JennyLife.com/friendzone for your life insurance quote today. JennyLife.com/friendzone. Friendzone. 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 If you want to say Jenny like Jen A, feel free to do that.
So bye-bye, Jenny.
I saw that on the that Leah Remini.
I kid
shit.
You not. A million years.
No. Are you like... you say what you want, because I grew up in a very organized religion that had a lot of things that I didn't agree with and that didn't align with me as a person, even as a child. And, you know, I'm not a part of those things. But there were certain extremes like this, like signing a contract for a million years or offering collateral of my personal, like, I just would have never, you know, subscribed to something that had any sort of relevance of those sort of deceitful tactics and, you know, just a blatant deceit like that. I can, in the name of something that's supposed to be centered around faith and holiness and, you know, good intentions and, you know, things of God, like that just don't make no sense. And that's why you are entitled to cuss their ass out when they try to come at you to be a part of all of that. Tell them, nah, get the fuck from around me for I shove that Bible up the crack of your, you know, you can say that.
He said, you could say that. But it's sad, though, because, like, the article that I mentioned from Insider with the young lady, her name's actually Flower.
Oh, well, she was destined to do something crazy anyway.
Flora Brown. She wrote this last year, and it was so insightful because one thing she said was that everyone in the cult was so nice. Mm-hmm. You know, like home cooked meals. When they would see you, was hugs and just love. Like, you just felt, and she was like, it never felt sinister. And that's exactly how it got her. Even when her friends would come, they would be like, everyone is so nice. You know, like, it just was like, and think about it. In a day-to-day, your interactions, your social interactions, how often do you feel warm around people? Like,
I'm back in Atlanta. And you know what's crazy? It's crazy, okay? Because, you know, I feel like we about to get somewhere. I was just saying to somebody, like, everyone here is so, like, it's not even happy, but everybody just is okay. Or they're beaming when they're okay. In New York, when everybody is, they're not even, like, unhappy. They just don't seem okay. Like, even in silence, like, everybody just makes everyone's life a living hell and just goes, I don't care up there. But, like, down here, everyone's
no
like...
No one sees each other
yeah,
here.
Down here, everybody's like, I don't mind holding the door for you just because, you know, I'm holding... Like, I walked in it anyway. Like, it's so different. So then when you're in a cult, probably, and niggas is doing really heinous shit, but everyone's kind of just uniform because they know that everyone has subscribed to this one thing, is so strange. But I think because everyone has subscribed, it's almost like everyone's at peace. Like, all of us is running around arguing about, do you believe in the Lord? Is you a homosexual? So, like, we're not connecting because we're too busy worried about the wrong goddamn things. Meanwhile, in the cult, they're all worried about the same wrong goddamn thing doing that. So they kind of seem lucid.
Fucking each other.
I don't know, man.
But it's just, you know, socially, which is another thing she mentioned in the article, it's like, you know, that type of kindness was so rare in her experience that it just was like honey, you know, it was like honey to a bee. It's like, this is so nice. And she said that's a lot of what kept her there. And even when she got out, she still missed that element of community and people checking on her and, you know, the cooked meals. If she needed anything, she was never without, you know, and just that sense, that warmth and, yeah, that village energy that they kind of had created is
so
just
she
that.
Had PTCD.
What is that?
Post-traumatic cult disorder. Ain't that what that's called? When you still get the shakes and
I
shit
mean,
after
you know
you
what?
Leave?
It is.
Yeah. Waking up cold sweats and shit. It's PTCD.
But I looked online and I saw Bustle had an article, right? And it said, if you exhibit these 9 personality traits, you're more likely to join a cult. Now, articles like this tend to be, you know, it's clickbait. Like,
it sounds funny.
I think people have their different emotional reasons why these things happen. But I did get curious and I was like, let me see what this is saying. And so I just want to read off some of this to see what you guys think. So the biggest one they said is that everyone is approval seeking to some degree, right? We all want our friends to like us. We want to feel accepted at work and so on. We like being part of cells, like groups. So those who want to feel validated, people who are in dire need of approval, usually because they have been neglected for so long in their life, whether it's just from, you know, human touch, affection, affirming, caretaking, all that. People who are in dire need of approval are more susceptible to joining. I mean, that one kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's why you got to raise your kids to be tough.
I mean, it ties into the episode 2 of the Good Kid, Mad City episode.
Yes.
That we did. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, it's an element of nature and nurture. Like, yeah, some kids are born and they seem like natural born leaders. You see those 1-year-olds that just be running shit at the daycare. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just genetic in some instances. But it's also nurture, you know, like the environment around you. And there are things like unmet needs will create someone that is looking for it elsewhere. You know, it's going to create that child. On top of creating a highly obedient child, guess what that creates?
A dummy.
Like, remember we did the episode on compliance, where mm-hmm. it's like you're going to create a people pleaser, someone who people pleases to their detriment because they don't even know how to have a relationship with how they feel or their intuition or their gut. They just know how to be good and do what they're told. So these are all parental things that contribute to that. The second thing they said is those who are seeking an identity. So when you feel your identity isn't stable or you're not really sure of who you are, then a cult makes it simple for you. We're all wearing the same thing. We're all doing the same thing.
We are dying at the same time.
Wow.
Dustin.
Wow.
And then those who are followers and not leaders. And that's the one that I really was trying so hard to find psychology journals. I couldn't really find anything that I felt was impactful. But I was like, what is it that makes certain people followers and other people leaders? And they all kind of said the same thing, nature versus nurture and the combination of the both, yep. of both, you know, because leaders are people who are captivating and dynamic. And a cult is usually centered around people who are that way, who are inspiring, all those traits that are really attractive to someone whose personality lends itself to following others. But I didn't really find what it is that makes a follower. I mean, I guess we can understand it intellectually, but I felt like on an emotional level.
Like, what's the...
I guess yeah. that would be... Yeah. yeah, like genetically, like, is it really a gene that would make you a leader and me a follower?
Mm. It's a mom gene.
You know what's interesting, too? Y'all been seeing a lot of talk about this, the new app, Clubhouse.
Yes.
That it's like the invite-only app, right? Even that is a social experiment. And it's funny because I was watching The Vow while also participating in this app and just seeing how the human condition works, where there's certain people who will go, who were invited into the app. So there's already that FOMO exclusivity of like, ask, I'm doing something, you're not.
I was about to ask, what room was you
and
in,
so
friend?
They'll go on Twitter. They'll go on Twitter. They'll go on Twitter and say things that'll make you feel, or I shouldn't even say make you feel, because it might not be everyone's intention. Because even when we watch Versus, we go to Twitter to talk about it. Because Twitter's really the only space that's in real time that allows for that type of conversation. So I'm not saying that's everyone's intention, but you know the people that are purposely going on Twitter because this is invite only, and they want you to know that they were invited and that you weren't. And I was watching even people, how there's certain people that will come on the app, right? And they're so fast with it to carve their space and let you know that they are in there, moderating chats, starting clubhouses, just boom, boom, boom. And then there's the other people that are like quiet, just observing. And I was like, it's so interesting to see who takes over a space, you know, because there are certain people that within a 24 hours.
Popping.
Actually, Mandy's one of those people.
Bitch.
I saw when Mandy signed on. No. But I think it's amazing because Mandy has such big energy. Mm-hmm. That even on an app, you can feel it. She signed on to that app, and I saw when she came on. And within 24 hours, Mandy was moderating. So, you know, like she was like, boom, she took over her corner of that app. And I was like, that's so tight, you know. But that's what made me wonder, even watching The Vow and just seeing the social experiment of this app happening in real time, of how people, there were even people on Twitter trying to kick people out of Clubhouse. You know, it's just so, it's so funny to see how,
like,
how
people
want to
like grasp
work.
To something or gravitate
yes,
towards certain
it's
things.
It's like it's the need to be included and feel needed and be a part of something.
There's an app that does. I'm sorry, friend. Go ahead. My bad.
No, it's fine. Even people changing their Twitter names to like Clubhouse Friend.
See,
you know what I mean? And on another scale, because my brain, I was thinking about this all weekend. Why can't people just enjoy an artist? Why does your Twitter have to suddenly become the artist's picture? You know, and like stans, like stan culture. Mm-hmm. Why can't you just say, I really enjoy Mariah Carey?
Right.
But now my picture, my avatar on Twitter is Mariah Carey. She's all I talk about. I'm fighting people on Twitter who mention her. And it's like, it's so that need to feel yes. like you're a part of something. That's why Beyonce calling her stands a beehive. It's perfect because it's a hive.
Yes. Contained.
A literal hive mentality. And it's, and so all of these things feel like, you know, interconnected. Obviously, the NXIVM cult is a different level of that, but just seeing followers, leaders, and being needed, identity, what you're willing to do for that, how far will it go? Are you, you know, it's just so, everything's a social experiment. And this weekend, I felt like my brain was just observing all of this.
I love that, friend.
Through the show and through the app.
I love that. This kind of feeds into a lot of everything that we've been talking about. Like, it ties back into, like, purpose and even kind of what I've been, even the threat that I've been trying to pull at. Like, I think you've given me what I want to call it, or, like, what I want to state it. It's this threat of, oh, shit, well, the weed took it right then and there, and I ain't even spark it yet. It's this threat of, of how ideas or thoughts are sparked and how they live on. Like, that's the way that I look at it, because it's like, what gave you this idea that by joining, you know, this cult that your life would be better, or by, like, changing your avi here and standing for this person, like, it's supposed to add, like, nutritional value, or what, like, what's the substance it adds to your life? Like, I would, like, the birth of these thoughts and ideas is what I've been, like, thinking about for, like, these past few episodes. So this ties perfectly into all of that too. So kudos, friend. I love your brain.
I just,
yeah, it's people thinking they need something outside of them. Bottom line.
I just want to say, like, it's been an experience for me watching this Clubhouse mania, because there has long been an app that is invitation only, that a lot of celebrities and people with public profiles use for, like, dating. It's like a version of, like, a Tinder or a Hinge. That, you know what I'm talking about. You have to get invited on
it. I do. Because we've had friends on it.
And they literally, you know, people are on there. And so, but nobody really talks about it. And so it maintains this sort of exclusivity, you know what I mean, that makes people feel comfortable using it for that or whatever. I'm not on there. I got invited, but I didn't, I didn't want to do it. I didn't even have to apply type shit. They was like, you know, anyway. But that's been around for so long, and I know so many people who have used it and use it. So now when I see these niggas on Clubhouse thinking they doing something, like, by being on Clubhouse, it's just funny to me. And nothing against it or whatever, but it's just like, ma'am and sir, this is not even what you acting like it is. That exists
already. And it's an interesting app. Like, I'll give it to you. There have been some conversations on there that I can see how this app is absolutely going to be the next wave. And I was talking with Haas about this.
Hey,
and
Haas.
It was like, hey, Haas. I was saying how it's so interesting because, you know, we're on all of these apps. And you think, like, there can't be another one. What else could we possibly come up with? Really? And then boom.
Clubhouse.
Like, Clubhouse comes. And it's a technology that I've never seen. You know, like, it's different. It's something cool. It's what's making people obsessed with it, because it's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like literally like live podcasts and, you know, like a live podcast show on your phone with people that you enjoy, people that you probably would never be able to interact with and you're on quote unquote stage with, you know. So, yes, there's elements of it that I'm like, I get it. This app is amazing. But to me, outside of the actual app and its usage, it's more so the social aspect of it that I'm watching, how it's unfolding in real time, and seeing those who really take this invite-only aspect and the fact that they're in as, like, some kind of meaning and validation for something. And that's the part that I'm like, I hate that we feel that way.
It's just a beta.
I hate that an app can make us feel that way. You know, it's an app that you didn't know about 2 days ago, that it has no effect on your life. Granted, yeah, networking, you're going to meet people, you're probably going to get money and grants, things that are actually life altering. Yes, I understand that. But it's more so just the FOMO of I am in something.
Blame
you're
Facebook.
Not.
And, you know, they were the ones that started that whole trend of, well, we're not going to let certain people, now with good reason.
Oh,
then.
Right, when it was just college.
Yeah, now for that. Yeah, for that was with good reason. But when I think about, like, the social aspect of this new app, I think about MySpace. Like, you remember, everybody had to see who was going to make the hottest pages and then end up in everybody's top 8 and put nobody in theirs. Like, it looks like that to me. So I definitely can see how this is going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
And even among us, there's been infighting because The app apparently started with tech dudes. It was very white tech dudes having a space to talk, you know, about startups and doing like tech of the week, like pop culture tech talks. You know what I mean? And it was just very like, and well, that's what's so funny. It was like angel investors and ways for people to like have that space. Apparently, some of the tech people started saying some anti-Semitic things that got recorded because obviously it's an audio app. You are going to be recorded and it's going to be shared. And then they got kicked off and then people were scared to be on it. And so they were like, somehow the black community.
Niggas gave a new life. Ain't that some shit?
This is how I see it. I don't know. I can't confirm. But I feel like they was like, we need new blood. Because this one got, you know, corrupted. And who better than the blacks to start a wave? Because that's exactly what the fuck happened. Now, yo, the conversations went from like, you know, Bitcoin is at 13.5K. And now when you go, it's like men are trash. Bitch, you stole my hoodie. Like, it's funny as fuck just watching shit transform. Like, but, and so there was about a lot of infighting where people were like, oh, the blacks are here. Now the shit's ghetto.
Ghetto sales.
And now
baby.
It's turned urban, you know? Right. And I saw even one chat where people were like, do you now feel like you don't belong here? You know, it's just funny.
They started
like,
saying that after Mandy came. Full core punks. They said, not up in here, God damn it. Love you, Mandy. Love you, Mandy. Love you, Mandy.
She know.
But, you know, all of this is just interesting. Like I said, I was experiencing this app, watching this documentary, thinking about my own experiences with like how much of my power I give away to people, apps, concepts, you know, like, and so it's all kind of ties in together. And that's why I just wanted to throw all that out there because, you know, the apps don't make you cool. A guru doesn't have an answer for you. Like, it's all tapped into the same bottom line that we're all looking for some type of validation. And I get it too. There's this dope ass astrologer that goes by the People's Oracle on Twitter. Mm-hmm. She's really dope, Dana. And she was saying that she actually feels uncomfortable when people say like, you know, you need to love yourself or heal yourself before you can love someone else. Cause she's like, that's how you learn through relationships. Like evolution is relational. And I felt her because I was like, damn, that's some real shit. Like, it kind of made me pause and even think about my own belief systems in regards to that. And I love that she broke down a whole thread about it. You can definitely go on her Twitter and check it out because it was this week. And it just kind of tied into that. Like, yeah, there is an element of you trusting that you have what you need. But there is also the element of we do need each other. And to a certain extent, you know, so that's why all these things is just such a delicate dance of knowing how much of what you need. And that's why these apps can play on our emotions and these cult leaders can play on our emotions because they know a lot of us don't know that balance yet and haven't figured out that delicate dance. So if you haven't watched The Vow, it's definitely something interesting. Even Scientology, it's called Clear. All of those just studies on when we give our power away. And it's something that I think we should consider in all aspects, our jobs, yes. Our friendships, our relationships. How much of your power are you giving away on a daily basis? And what can you do to get that back?
Well, great discussion, Fran, because I definitely thought them people was crazier than a Betsy bug. And I also don't recognize that lady from television either. I'm just going to say that because I don't really want to air her
either.
Out. I felt like she
was
so
just
pressed
me.
For us to know that she was in a television show. And it's like, ma'am, I've never seen you before in my life. And she swore like just, oh, my God. I'm like, lady. Anyway, that's all I want to say, friend.
Anything you guys want to add before we switch?
Yeah, don't fall for the okie doke. Keep your eyes open and shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't be listening to everything a motherfucker tell you is good for you. And if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. You got to follow your instincts, Trust your instincts. Trust your gut feeling. It'll never lead you wrong. And don't let nobody feel like that you got to tell them personal business as collateral to give you some information.
Oh, my God, never.
You didn't even ask for in the first damn place.
That's insane.
Thank you.
Nothing to add. Great conversation, I guess, for all of those out there that thought they would end up in a cult or think they'd end up in a cult. Think twice. Don't do it.
Think three times. Shit.
Have you ever met anybody or seen like somebody that like left a cult on a TV show? Because those people always interest me like the most. Like, I remember growing up and watching Real World, and there was a white girl. She said her family had left some cult. And then on most recently, Black Ink Crew. Damn, what's the one on the West Coast? They just did one on the West Coast, and there was a black girl on there. And she left the cult, and she was doing porn now and shit, and they were trying to judge her. But it's,
damn.
I always look for those people with those stories on TV. I'm like, damn, you was what?
Yeah, I'm always fascinated, especially when they untether. It's like, what made you finally get to that point where you could do that? There's actually a this woman on YouTube that I used to watch for years. Her name, she goes by Teal Swan.
Mm-hmm.
And she would like break down different concepts, you know, spiritual concepts. And I really was like, damn, she's gonna be dropping some fucking gems. And there were certain things that didn't resonate, but for the most part, mm-hmm. a lot did. And I remember I never really look into people's lives like that because I'm like, it don't matter to me who she is or what she is. Like, if the message is hitting, the message is hitting. But I saw some article about her having actually escaped a sex cult. Like, but she escaped this from childhood. Like, she was a little kid born into it.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
Right. So her parents were in it, and she was raised and or born and raised, and had to break through that as an adult, which is like, that's a different, whole different level of programming. Yeah. And so to see what she talks about now, you can kind of even understand why she's at that level, because the shit that she had to process, you know, that's like a whole different kind of breakthrough. So yeah, I'm always fascinated with those stories too, which is why I got sucked in when people were tweeting me like, Fran, you gotta watch The Vow, it's something I feel like you would like. I was like, y'all know me well.
Hell, because yeah.
I watched that whole 9-part series, and it's just, you know, outside of feeling what you feel or judging their experiences, yes. is just
fascinating.
Really, yeah, it's just really highlighting how delicate being a human is.
That's true.
Regardless of your background, it just really highlights how delicate this experience is. Especially it's something that tan. I think
oh my
you
God.
Are just.
You don't have to wait until November 3rd to cast your ballot. Be an October voter. In most states, you can vote early in October. Request your mail ballot. Return your completed ballot in the mail or in person, or vote early at an early voting location. There's no time to waste. Treat every day like election day to make sure that all voices are heard. Make a plan to vote. Be an October voter. Visit andstillivote.org to join the fight for voting rights today. That's andstillivote.org, paid for by the Leadership Conference Education Fund.
Today's episode of The Friend Zone is brought to you by Seedlip, the original distilled non-alcoholic spirits. Seedlip founder Ben Branson aimed to solve the dilemma of what to drink when you're not drinking, drawing inspiration from a centuries-old book entitled The Art of Distillation. Ben tinkered in this kitchen with homegrown herbs and a copper still. The ultimate result was a range of uniquely flavored non-alcoholic spirits without alcohol, calories, or sugar, conveniently delivered directly to your door. Topped with a splash of ginger ale or tonic, Seedlip makes crafting adult non-alcoholic cocktails easy at home. Made from the finest globally sourced botanical ingredients, Seedlip comes in three varieties: the Aromatic Spice 94, Herbal Garden 108, and the Citrus Forward Grove 42, all without alcohol, calories, or sugar. As simple as adding a splash of premium mixer or 2 ounces of your preferred expression, or challenging your bartending skills to create a more elevated serve, Seedlip enables you to have that evening drink any night of the week, delivered direct to your door via seedlipdrinks.com. And for a limited time, get 15% off your order by using the code FRIENDZONE15 at checkout. That's SEEDLIPDRINKS.com and code FRIENDZONE15 for 15% off your first order. Having a sophisticated, non-alcoholic option to enjoy any night of the week has never been easier
with seed lip.
So because I've talked enough, we're going to jump into the music man, Asante. Let us know what you got for us this week.
That's right. We skipping it around. So, you know, if you still hear some wind chimes, we're going to remix it right into the music man segment. Okay. So, you know, a lot of new music came out. I have not had a chance to listen to everything because I came down south. And so I just been checking out the radio to see what's been going on. But I do want to discuss what I did get to listen to. And that's that new Ty Dolla $ign.
Okay.
New Ty Dolla $ign. I don't know why Ty Dolla $ign always hits for me. But this project was just another hit for me. The project is actually titled Featuring Ty Dolla $ign, and there are 25 tracks.
Genius title.
Yes.
I mean, what better way to name your, like, name, and this, I don't think this is his debut, because he's put out projects before, so I don't know what he would actually call this outside of album. I guess it's not a debut album. But he just does a great job of being able to blend with whatever artist he has, but still keeping his signature sounds, and not just in his vocals. So shout out to Ty Dolla $ign for doing that. Solid, solid project. Again, it's 25 tracks. Did you, either of you, have a chance to listen through, pick out some faves, heard anything, see any singles or anything?
I browsed around it, you know what I'm saying, and everything that I liked, I heard.
Browse.
I was browsing because it was playing in the background, and I was like coming in and out of paying attention. So I heard a bit of it, and I got familiar with the vibe of the album overall, and it was great. And everybody owed the nigga a favor, so of course he has all these features on
here.
Sounds
like he cashed them checks.
Everybody is on this album because he done been on everybody else's album. And say what you want, Ty Dolla $ign is A, very talented, and B, he will make a song better. Like with his contribution, he'll make a song. Right. He'll make me like a song. I love Ty Dolla. Don't nobody better not say nothing about Ty Dolla $ign. Fire's on concern.
Well, damn, I guess I won't say how I
no,
feel.
No, well, you can, because can't nobody damn sure say nothing about what
yes,
you
Yes, friend.
Said.
Give it to Shit. Us. How you feeling,
Come
friend?
Come on, friend.
I'm going to be honest. I couldn't connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that it could have been Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to hear you.
Yeah.
Who is he?
And I get,
as an artist, we want to know.
Like, I want to hear you. Like, isn't this technically his first album? Like, his debut? Yep.
See, that's what I was trying to see, because he's put together albums,
like, where are you
and
at?
They sound like album, so that's why I was like, well, because, you know, Beach House, there were vibes on Beach House,
and those are technically mixtapes, right?
True,
right? Or yeah, EPs, true. EPs are
mixtapes, yeah,
yeah.
Well,
it's
like, you know, it was a lot of people. I was like, that's a lot of people on this project. It felt very DJ Khaled,
especially,
you know,
the pandemic.
But with DJ Khaled, you can understand, because he's not an artist. Yep. He's a curator. You know, he's a producer. He's executive producer. So he just knows how to bring the right people to create interesting music. But Ty Dolla $ign is an actual artist and a dope one at that. So it almost made me wonder, like, what was it that didn't make him feel like, yeah, I'm going to give you my shit, maybe a couple features. You know, I don't know. That's just how
he comes from a musical background, too, because I'm going to look it up right now. But his dad was in a 70s group. Hold on, Ty Dolla $ign.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah,
that's
his
tight.
Dad. Let me see, father. His dad was Tyrone Griffin Sr., and he played in Lakeside, the 80s funk band Lakeside. Like, y'all know who Lakeside is. Lakeside had plenty of hits in the 80s, and, like, you know, they were an important funk group. So he comes from good musical stock. He's been listening to good music and musicality and shit all his life. So I appreciate what Ty Dolla $ign brings to music, and I too, friend, would like an album just from him. Like, let's just get to know who you are beyond making songs that are the jam, you know?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Beyond features.
Yeah. Beyond features.
And you know, with that said, it would be great if there were the follow up album instead of featuring Ty Dolla $ign was like just Ty Dolla $ign. That'd be cute.
Just Ty.
It would be cute. That would be really, really cute marketing. Great perspective. Love both. Love all. Outside of the new Ty Dolla $ign, because really what I got to listen to was the track with him and Kid Cudi, which I was really feeling, Temptations. And then I always check for anything with Big Sean on it. Tyrone 2021, those were like the tracks that I played like back to back mostly, just because I clicked on those first because I wanted to hear those first. But I'm going to go back and really listen to the rest of it too and give you a better opinion, because everything else played in the background and it sounded really nice. I was like, okay, Ty sounds like he's hitting here. This sounds good. I'm going to revisit this. Okay. Outside of Ty Dolla $ign, I do want to just play you my listen lately. And then I'm going to just hand this over to you two. And then there's like one or two more songs I'm just going to talk about. And then we can move on. I am down in Atlanta. And I've been listening.
Oh, you're there right now.
I'm still in Atlanta. I will be back.
I did not know that. That's so tight.
I'll be back in time to vote. I promise. You know what I'm saying? You know, go vote. You might have heard the ad already, or the ad's going to come. Anyway. But because I'm down here, you know, I've been able to listen to music in car. So it's like me reconnected with music all over again. I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit, you know, I forgot how hard, you know, I used to like this, or like, this is shit. So also in the spirit of reconnecting, Saweetie, she dropped a song. And one of the things that I used to love about Saweetie is the way she would kind of sing and write a melody. So Saweetie dropped a new song where she's doing a little bit more of that singing. And it's with featuring Janae Aiko.
Oh, okay.
Fran,
Janae slid. She slid on this shit.
Well, you know that.
Fran, I don't know. First of all, I don't know why my service is acting like this, but I don't know what I was expecting when I clicked on it, because I was just like, all right, Saweetie got a new song and Janae's here, so I know it's gonna be something nice, right? Like at least. But to hear it and then it be like more than what you could have asked for, and then just be like, damn, like somebody really was just like, there was a vision here. There was something more here than just like, we got to do a record together. Because, you know, some artists is like, they just put out a record. It's like, all right, well, they was just like, it's our time, since, you know, Janae making her rounds or Saweetie's making her rounds. But like, they actually both sound like, oh, like there was a lot of thought put behind this. So this song is called Back to the Streets. I played it like 10 different times already this morning. And it's still just not going to work on my phone. So I'm just going to pull out my laptop really fast for you guys.
Hopefully. Just sing it.
Okay.
Give us a live performance this week.
I ain't doing that shit.
Give us a live Listens Lately. I think that would be so dope. And so avant-garde. You should do it.
What's the first word of your name on Zoom?
Oh, fuck.
So this is Back to the Streets, Saweetie featuring Janae Aiko.
In my hood, best dress. Next thing, upgrade, who's next? Rich boy, got him on deck. Good boy, tell that nigga fetch. I put my new man on a leash. Traded in my old nigga, he was just a lease. Ride around town till I leave. I gave that boy rounds, but I'm back to the street. Like la da di da di da. Yeah, I spent him back to the streets. Like la da di da di da. Back to the streets. So clean when I pull up to the scene. Big goals and I put that on me. What you thinking? What's good? Fuck how you feeling? I wish a nigga would. Had to hit the husband on your homies. Stepping in your bad bitches only. My ex used to act like he owned me. Ain't enough, just a dreaming like a joke.
So that's Back to the Streets. I love, love, love Saweetie when she's singing like that. It sounds so cute. Like, it just makes me feel like, well, hopefully things don't end up wrong with her and Quavo and she ain't got to go back to the streets. But I just love the fact that, you know, she sounds so happy in the song, even though, it, you know, because, you know, if she had to go back, she's still a baddie. So she could go back to the streets, but she ain't got to. OK, we're praising her and Quavo. But it was also cute later on hearing Janae rap and, you know, do her little sing thing. I'm just loving Janae this season. Again, if you haven't seen Janae's Tiny Desk at Home, by the way, make sure you go check that out, because she slid on that also as well. I just have to say that. With that said, there's one more song I'm going to share just a little bit later, but I want to get into what you two have been listening to lately. Friend, I want to know what you've been popping in your headphones, okay? Just tell me what's been popping with your girl.
Well, you already know Alex Isley.
Every time,
Alex Isley and Jack Dine. What a combo. Those two are just like...
A dual project supernovas. Needs to happen.
Man, yeah, true. I wonder if they're setting up for that. They have to be. So they dropped a record called Mine, and it is amazing. I'm just going to play it because there's nothing else to say.
Wouldn't you know, those brown eyes see a side that nobody knows. Nobody knows but you. I want to go. Go wherever your thoughts lead you, treasures you hold. Why don't you show the truth? Cause what I've seen so far is heaven sent, eloquent and
decadent. Every drop you send my way, I hold on, babe. I'd live this whole damn life all over again just to meet you once again. Every second, minute, hour, still in place, 'cause you've always been mine.
That's hot, hot. Like,
she said, I'll do this life all over again just to meet you once again. Are you kidding me?
Incredible. Incredible vocal.
That line, when I tell you it hit my chest, y'all know I'm a mush.
The power that like, that has. The range that that has. The impact that we need Anna Navarro. Because
you've always
incredible.
Been mine. Man, Alex, wow. How is it possible for an artist to never miss? How?
Alex, shit.
Like, how is it possible?
Alex, only you have the answer.
She is tapped in, man. And then Jerome Thomas. Remember, I've mentioned Jerome Thomas before. He's so tight. He's so actually so sweet. I have to shout him out because I had already listened to his new song that dropped. Because I, you know how when you're on Spotify, if you follow the artist, when they drop new music, Spotify creates a playlist of like radar, I think it's called. So anyone that you're following, it kind of, you know, aggregates a playlist of the newest songs. So I already heard it, but he DMs me like to tell me that he dropped a new song. I was like, oh, you late. Like, I'm on it. I follow you. And I told him, I was like, I already love it. It's amazing. And I'm playing it on the friend zone. So he was like, what? Because he's just super, super talented. So Jerome Thomas is called Right There. And this is how it goes.
If you must go, I won't keep ya. I won't keep ya. Baby, I know. Stay busy, oh so busy. But I like the fact that you took time out of your daily routine just to be with me in my time of need. When there's many things you could be doing, but I'm no burden.
He reminds me of like that late 90s sound.
Yeah, Dwele shit.
You know?
Yes.
Like, remember, like Myron?
Yes.
Remember,
yes,
like,
wow. Yes, yes. Destiny.
Like, he's in that lineage, yes, of just that, like, kind of neo soulish, yep, R&B ish, but late 90s when that crew came out.
Mm-hmm.
What were they called? The Soulquarians? Like, yes, that kind of vibe, yes, he gives me. So, shout out to Jerome and shout out to Alex.
What about shout you, Dustin them, Ross? Bro. What else you been listening to?
I've been digging in the crates this week, and then it's some new shit that I like too. So when it comes to the old songs, the first one I'm going to play is actually by Plies. It's called I'm the Man featuring Trey Songz.
Went to sleep real, woke up real, Hood affiliated, ex-drug dealer, resume solid, street cred bigger, click full of soldiers, all us killers. Never seen one, I'm what they call a real nigga. Pocket full of cash, body full of liquor. Put my whips on it, Betty ain't Triller. The phone know ya, homie. Hand on pistol.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dust Flies, I'm the Man featuring Trey Songz. Also, there's a hidden gem on that album. The album is called Definition of Real, and there's a song on there called Number One Fan featuring Keisha Cole and Jay Holiday, and it is amazing. Keisha Cole sings the first chorus, Jay Holiday sings the second chorus, and the third one, they share it together, soaring vocally. And it's a great song. And it starts off by him saying, "It's Plies, baby." So you'll like it. The next song that I've been listening to is another old cut. It came out in 99, but this is a hip hop classic. It's by Noriega. It's called Sometimes.
Boy, half of that shit. Before you pass it to me,
niggas missing them summer jams.
This summer jam.
Apollo.
Greek fests.
Brooklyn Queens.
Queens Day and shit. You know,
Harlem Weeks
and shit like that. Niggas that can't be here with us. Thugging it out with us. Think about them. This is for them.
Hey yo, I grew up like the regular thugs. I think I told you that. My only means of getting money was to sell and crack. That's how the nigga did a bid, nigga, all of that. So now I kick back and get paid for raw rap. My nigga Pone ain't home. Not yet. Yo, it don't matter, cause we zone on the same set. Me and kick it on the hand in. Don't really hang too tough, but the love is there. My pops died on July 3rd, 98, so now a nigga need mad herb. Cause my pops is here, yo, he loved his son. Matter of fact, my pops was the one who showed me a gun and said, "Poppy, you gotta protect your moms. Even if that means
that's
that
sometimes
you gotta
strap my mom." It's amazing. The third and final song that I wanna play is actually by a new artist that I don't know, she just, like, she won me over. I just started listening to her music. I like her vibe, and I'm fucking with the music. So it's actually Queen Naja off her new album, Misunderstood, that comes out October 30th. And the song is called Lie to Me featuring Lil Durk, and this is my shit.
Bet they hear these words and call me foolish. Call me stupid, like what the hell I'm doing. I've been in the studio and focused on my music. Ain't got no time to press you about them holes that you've been screwing up. Cause I know where I stand. Know I got the key to your heart in my nightstand. You gon' find that testing out the waters ain't exciting. As you thought it was, nigga, you'll be coming right back. Nah. Crying ain't gon' fix it, so I'm still here. Nah. Long as you respect the way I do feel. Love me good and lie to me. Don't want broken promises, don't want apologies. I don't wanna be the one complaining. Long as you don't see nobody that I hang with. Yeah. Love me good and lie to me. Don't
want broken so promises, tight. And Lil Durk slides on that. Yeah, sing, friend.
So pretty.
And also a Queen Naja, Hey Friend, Hey collab track would be amazing. I just want to put that out into the universe, ethos. Okay.
Shout out to Queen Naja. She done came up. She been putting out music and working and continuously going. So shout out to her.
Shout out to Queen Naja.
And it's hard to break out of the like YouTube influencer to artist transition. Like people don't take you seriously. So she doing that.
And that's it for me.
That's all y'all been listening to?
Oh, Xavier Omar's album dropped. Did y'all check it out yet?
Oh, absolutely. What the fuck is wrong with me? Absolutely. Shout out to Xavier Omar.
It is so good, isn't it?
Yes, he snapped.
He went I told you. I was like, this album is his best work yet, which is saying a lot because his work is the best.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely play If You Feel. I'm going to play it. I'm going to live it. He always makes music, especially like for like the vibe and the feel of the moment. So
I'm telling you, that album, I have had it nonstop playing for, I kid you not, every day for the past like 2.5 weeks.
I just love the way that it looks, like the picture.
The cover,
yeah. Like the black and white with just the subtle like colors, but it's perfect.
Everything about it is amazing. Shout out to Xavier
Masego.
Omar.
Mariba, like he had all our faves on.
Yeah, Masego's here. Mariba's actually the last track, which I think is gonna be great. The track is called Like I Feel, so I'm excited to listen to this.
And it's good.
And everybody's fucking talking about it too. So shout out to him for getting the visibility that he literally deserves. You know, that's our homie. So
yes, he's definitely friend zone fam. Speaking of friend zone fam, I want to shout out a couple of rappers. They're both they're both fans of the show. They both listen to the show. They both added me. I'm watching y'all both, so I haven't listened to the music yet, but I'm going to definitely check out Armani Caesar
I've heard of Armani Caesar. He's a gay rapper, and he can actually rap his ass off. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Well, that's not who I'm talking about at all. I'm so sorry.
I think.
Isn't Armani Caesar a girl?
Yes, Armani Caesar's a woman. She signed to Griselda Records. You know?
Griselda.
That's right, yeah. Griselda.
Wait, you said she listens to the show?
Yeah, she tweeted me. She said she listens to the show.
Shut up.
So I was...
Shut up, I looked at,
yo, when I seen that, I was like, what you mean you listen to the show? So
that's so dope because she's dope as fuck. That's why I'm like, you know, I don't know a lot of rappers, but she, because I love Griselda and they've been pumping her music and she's beautiful.
She's
too,
she's fucking gorgeous.
She's like stunning.
She just put out
and
a project.
So the combination is unfair. I'm like, how are you that talented?
She just put out a project called The Liz. And so I watched a couple of the videos from it. I watched Palm Angels and I watched Simply Done featuring Benny the Butcher. Mm-hmm. She spits hard. She looks great. I was going to act like I ain't listened to this shit yet, but since you did that, she's got a nice tongue and she looks great and she does everything that I want. So
from New York, right?
Yeah,
like Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Or
yep.
No? Boom. Look,
so yeah,
I
you
know,
didn't
I
see
know.
Friends and friends. So Armani Caesar, I definitely have to shout her out this week. I was going to just, you know, do a little subtle something, but Fran blew up the spot. So now you know
Armani Caesar.
Now you know it's all love over here, Armani Caesar. Another rapper that I want to shout out, his name is Armani White. His name on social is Armani Blanco. Armani's. I don't know what it was about the Armanis. You know, it was just something. So I was like going to shout them both out suddenly.
Is this
I think
who
he's,
I was talking about?
Maybe.
I'm gonna have to ask the person that showed because I think it was Armani something, but the little motherfucker could rap. I'm sorry.
Well, the little motherfucker
well,
could rap.
Armani can't rap. His bio on Twitter is literally "I make happy hood music." So I haven't been able.
Oh, I'm so
there's a clip already.
There's a clip and he's spitting his post to his pinning his tweet, but I'm gonna check him out and then I'm gonna let you guys know. But if you guys want to do some homework, definitely go check out Armani White. He's at Armani Blanco on Twitter and hit up Armani Caesar and show her some love to it. Or if either one of y'all listening, y'all know it's love on the friend zone. So that does it for the Music Man segment. I want to go ahead and kick it over to Dustin Ross and see what you've been listening to over here at TV, or what you've been watching rather on TV land.
CNN, man. I just been keeping my TV on CNN all night. I watch Don Lemon's show. I watch so many different shows on CNN. So I've really been occupying my television space with everything that's going on with the election, the NSAR.
Well, because you got to stay up to date.
I have to.
For this, the podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also just to be informed in my regular old life. You know what I'm saying? It's so much shit going on that, you know, I don't like missing nothing. So I've really been watching a lot of news, reading a lot of news headlines. As far as television for like leisure and recreation, of course, The Real Housewives of Potomac have still been keeping my attention. I'm still Team Monique. Candace needs her ass beat again. Ashley and Karen are the only real ones. I'm tired of Wendy. We don't even know her like that. And she always is inserting herself she interrupts everything. And I really wanted to like Wendy. When I first saw her, I saw she was strikingly beautiful. So I was already like buying in just to like her look in the first place. But the more and more that she just didn't come off well for me this season. I'm sorry. Mm. And Candace is inciting people to violence. Inciting people to violence. And so, you know, you got to ask yourself a conversation sometime. to chorus.
Yo, the way your brain works is just
inside. So what's she inside to? Violence. But she does. And the girl on Bravo's chat room, which is the talk show that Portia Williams executive produces. My ass beat. My ass beat. Okay. She got that ass whooping in B flat. Beat. That's how she got that ass whooping. That song is called He Loves Me, Lizelle in E flat. Yeah, well, Candace's version is called She Beats Me, ass whooping in B flat for beat. But anyway, and you got to act like the girl on Bravo's chat room said, you got to ask yourself at a certain point, why do everybody want to beat my ass? You know what I'm saying? Like that, you have to ask yourself that. And she just hasn't learned it. She's been grossly disrespectful to Ashley, who has really won me over personally this season. So I'm excited about it. Another thing, we're going to watch the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City as a family. I decided. That means you, Fran, you, Asante, and me, Dustin.
Yes. I'm in.
It's about to start. Brand new franchise. All new people. We can get to know them together.
Yes.
And we can hate on them with each other.
Wait, when?
It starts, I believe, the end of this month. It's coming soon. So
okay.
If you can watch it. I'll send you the trailer and stuff. And then you can watch it. So
November
we're
going to
watch
11.
That together. There you go. So we're going to watch that as a family, y'all. And listeners, that means y'all too. So Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is going to be on our radar. Let me think what else.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Are they going to be Mormons?
Some of them are. Some of them do have Mormon backgrounds. Some of them had Mormon backgrounds and no longer want to be a part of the Mormon religion because of what they allege to be racist practices.
Holy
so
shit.
It's gonna go there.
Going
yeah,
there.
And then the okay. one lady on there who I already know is gonna get on my nerves. She married her grandmother's second husband to like keep the family money or whatever the fuck. They're like they're in the church. It's a lot. So we watching it. Okay, I say all that to say we're gonna watch it. Yeah, we're watching it.
Wow.
And shout out to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because they casted their first
Mary Cosby.
That's her name. See it on Salt Lake City. We're not gonna like Mary Cosby.
Yeah, sorry,
well, you
I
can
guess.
Already tell, can't you? We're not gonna like her. And she has she bears a strikingly resemblance to what's the lady's name from Mad TV? Deborah Wilson, the no, she, lady.
Oh my god!
She looks like she looks like Deborah Wilson would play her on Mad TV, don't she, Asante?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes. 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 Yes.
Okay. Now there is.
You should see the picture that I'm looking at. Those.
I don't want to.
What was I getting ready to tell
you
about?
Dustin says striking resemblance.
She does. Show it. Put it on the screen, Asante. Show it to Fran. I was getting ready to tell y'all. Oh, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Let me just look this up really quick because I want to give a shout out to them. They added their first Asian American cast member to this season. Wow.
Crystal Kung Minkoff.
Yep. Crystal. What's her middle name?
Kung. K-U-N-G. Mm-hmm.
Minkoff. And she's married to the guy who directed the original Lion King, long money. So shout out to them for continuing to diversify the cast. You know, they added Garcelle Beauvais last year. She's returning full-time again this year for season 11. Also, Kathy Hilton has joined the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for season 11. She's going to be a friend of the cast. We all know that she's the sister of Kyle Richards and Kim Richards, who are longtime cast members on the show.
Wow.
And she's also Kathy Hilton, a.k.a. Paris Hilton's mama. So this is going to be good.
Big it's gonna be
are
real
going
good.
On. Yeah.
So she's just a friend, though. She's not. Coming
she's coming
here
on as a friend,
lead.
And I don't know. Is Kim coming back as a friend too? Because Kim hasn't been on as a main in a while. But I know there's opposition between the sisters, and there has been for a very, very long time.
Oh,
so
boy.
This is gonna be interesting to watch Kathy with Kyle because Kyle and Kathy ain't really been fucking with each other. And I low key wonder if it's because of the way that Kyle treats Kim on camera. And I don't know if she's coming on to correct that or how it's gonna play out. Can't wait. Sorry.
Damn, you making me watch.
I've always loved Beverly Hills. There's always been little random juicy pieces in there, but it's not something that I recommend for people to start from the beginning because it really just wrote the wave of when things were happening. Like when the OJ shit was happening, like there was a whole storyline happening on there too. I was like, this is so, like, what are y'all doing? So
and
I was great.
Then, the other day, I was shaving my head and I was like, I just need some background noise. And ever since Teresa Giudice voted for Donald Trump and was vocal about it, I just haven't had nothing for the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Like, I just haven't been interested,
damn.
Like, whatever. And so randomly, long story short, Bravo has these amazing after-show videos and episode summary videos that they upload to their YouTube channel. And sometimes on autoplay, they'll just show up in my, on my YouTube. And so I was watching a scene where this lady named Jackie was letting Teresa's ass have it. And I was like, I like her. And it didn't even have anything to do with my personal disdain for Teresa at this time because Teresa used to be one of my favorite housewives ever. Like, I loved her in the first two seasons of Jersey. But after they did a shift and invited like her family onto the show, it just got really weird and draining and exhausting. And then she went to jail and then she voted for Donald Trump. And I just completely let go of her. But this lady named Jackie tore into her ass. And it reignited my interest. And they're filming the new season now. And I found out that this lady named Jackie, I guess, is going to be at odds with everybody this season because somebody accused her husband of cheating. Her and Teresa go at it. So I'm going to watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey again, I think, for this upcoming season. I'm going to give them a go. And it's still fuck Teresa, but I'm going to watch it. Yeah. And that's it.
I watched a lot of that.
Did you?
Yeah, back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like, when it was, you know, like early on, I watched Jersey, New York, mm-hmm. Atlanta a little bit.
Did you ever get in the OC?
No, I never watched the OC. Me I think either. I just did New York, Atlanta, and Jersey. And then, you know, I fell off because it's just so many seasons after a while. I was like, all right. But those three I definitely used to watch.
Well, we're going to watch Salt Lake City together.
I used to watch OC in the very, very beginning, but that's because I used to like the other shows that used to come on Bravo. But I like barely even remember that chapter now because we've been overloaded with so much other shit now.
So many, yeah.
People are not really watching or supporting, rather, this. A lot. I shouldn't say people. There's a lot of people who are choosing not to support this season of The Real Housewives of Orange County because there's a lady on there named Kelly Dodd, and I guess she's been doing like some really racist shit online. And yeah, and people just are not, they're like, this doesn't make sense. In addition to the fact that there's no originals on that cast anymore. So it's just a bunch of people who, like Vicky Gunvalson.
That's always crazy.
Yeah,
to
she's
me.
Gone. Like, it's just
not
all new
people.
Not
one original.
Mm-mm. So, and I guess y'all, so if you don't know, and if you don't already, follow the account The Peach Report Daily on Instagram and Twitter. It's the best Real Housewives fan page ever in existence, ever in life. And they have real, actual information that's new. They drop hints, never really give away anything crucial to the storyline, so you still enjoy the season as it plays out. Just a wonderful page to follow. So look up the Peach Report Daily. But they've been dropping a lot of hints about this upcoming season 13 of The Housewives of Atlanta. The ladies are all in New Orleans currently filming one of their cast trips. They went on two trips this year, one to Charleston for Cynthia Bailey's bachelorette party. And now they're all in New Orleans. All of the trips, normally like last season, they went to Greece. They've gone to Tokyo. They've gone to... you name it. They go all over the world. But of course, because of the coronavirus pandemic, all of the trips and traveling had to be domestic this year. And we're grateful to even have that because it's been so iffy with filming and traveling, you know, restrictions and things like that. But according to the Peach Report Daily, we're going to get a fucking season. They dropped hints yesterday that the trailer is supposed to come out maybe this week or either early next for season 13. We'll have a cast announcement. We'll know who all hold the peaches and who doesn't and all that fun stuff. But LaToya Forever, who I'm a big fan of her YouTube channel, once I found out she was involved in the show, I was like, well, let me get into her YouTube, and I instantly fell in love with her beautiful family, and she's just interesting, and it's just you just fall in love with her watching her. And apparently she is definitely in the mix this season, stirring up shit.
That's so crazy.
I
wonder if Maya knows. You know, that's one of Maya's like closest friends.
I didn't know that, but it makes perfect sense because she seems
so
likable.
That's how I met her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I know her, because she's Maya and her know each other from Toronto. Yeah.
So
they're friends from back in Canada. So I'm like, oh, this is crazy.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good.
Me
so
too.
I'll let you guys
she's
know
funny,
when the trailer
so
comes.
Yeah.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. And that's it, y'all.
Oh yeah,
that's it for everybody. Well, as always, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.